This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Spy Fat Chicks. And this week's episode is all about the wonderful, amazing time, meal, and company we had at Trinity for the Robbie Burns night.
Yes. It was awesome.
So much great food. So much great scotch.
It was about as perfect could be. The Trinity did their Robbie Burns night the day before Robbie Burns Day, which is January 25th. And you may be asking, who is Robbie Burns?
He is Scotland's most famous poet. You've probably read some of his poems. I'm sure that you've heard one. He's the one that wrote Auld Lang Syne. You know, the one that always gets sung at New Year's. Should old acquaintance be forgot? Or, if that's too traditional for you, it's the ringtone of Sophie Vitale from Kill Bill.
He's also written some other awesome poems that you've probably heard.
My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose.
Yes.
That's newly sprung in June.
And some other great poems you've probably never heard of before, such as Cock Up Your Beaver.
Mmm.
A perennial favorite. So, but he's also really well known for writing a poem to haggis. It's actually the address to the haggis.
His big thing was that he wrote in the Scottish accent. He's kind of known as being a national hero because of that. He didn't write in the Queen's English. He wrote in the way that people spoke.
You know, I read a while ago how the idea that Robbie Burns dinner got started, and now I can't remember what it was. I think it was when you first told me about them, like when we first moved to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how it started? I think it was just one of those things. They started a Robbie Burns Society, and they started having a birthday for his dinner. And yeah. It just seemed like a great tradition, and people just started adopting it all over the place.
It's usually like St. Patrick's Day, but more well-dressed and a little bit more reserved.
Yeah, it really is. It's like the up-class Scottish version of St. Patrick's Day, which I totally dig. And the focal point of the Robbie Burns dinner is the haggis, but we're going to get to that. So, Trinity. A couple episodes ago, we did talk about Trinity Irish Pub. It is in Whitby, right across the sidewalk from the AMC Theater there. Lots of parking, awesome, awesome restaurant, great food, good prices for what you're getting, an amazing beer selection, really nice staff, really nice location. The tickets were $45. They did put them on sale right after Christmas, so maybe this, you know, Christmas time next year, start asking if you're interested in going, if they're going to do it again.
Because we went for my birthday. And yes. Started asking about it, and they're like, oh, we're planning on doing it. We just haven't put any posters up yet.
Yes.
And literally, like, the next week, they had stuff advertising it, so.
Yes. I know there were a lot of other Robbie Burns dinners around the Oshawa area. There was one at the Polish Club. I saw a sign up for another one.
The Legion usually does one, I think, too.
The Legion does one, too, yeah. So, this one came with a ticket that had a scotch nosing included, plus dinner with, you know, all the piping and all the other ceremony that goes with it, and the scotch nosing included 5 scotches. The tickets were $45. I don't know if they'll be the same price again next year or not, but it was a steal for what we got. Mm-hmm. It was an absolute bargain.
Just the dinner alone was worth that. Then you had the scotch nosing on top and pomp and circumstance.
Yes. So when you walked in for the dinner, in the back left of the restaurant, they had it all set up, marked off for everybody that had bought tickets for the dinner. There must have been, what do you think, 40 people, maybe?
Yeah, 50? About that.
It was a good crowd. It wasn't huge. It didn't take over the restaurant. There were still other diners there for the evening. But they had a nice turnout for it being the first one since they opened. And they've only really been open for a few months now, if that. Like 2 months. Yeah. Tops. So it really wasn't a bad turnout at all. When we showed up, they, you know, asked if we were there for the dinner. And then you waited by the bar until they were ready to seat us all. And that's when you had your pint of Innocent Gun beer that came with the dinner.
That was really nice. It was aged in oak barrel, so it really had a nice oaky flavor to it. I really dug it. And then later when we went to the LCBO, we saw they actually have different flavors of Innocent Gun. There's a blonde, there's, I think, a porter as well. There's one that was aged in sherry barrels instead of oak barrels. Mm-hmm. Really good.
I really want to check out their blonde. I loved the one we had, the cask conditioned ale that we had at Trinity for the dinner, but I really want to take a look at some of their other flavors, because that's just exciting. So that was good. The other ones have to be just as awesome. So, awesome beer to start. So you're kind of chilling by the bar, sipping your beer, waiting. They finally seat us. And right away, they did the piper started playing. Mm-hmm. And he's walking around the restaurant. He's going through some different songs. They had a really good gentleman doing the piping, I thought.
Yeah, he was good.
He was good. He had a good repertoire. Bagpipes aren't to everybody's tastes, but we love them. So
Unabashedly.
After that, they had the chairman's welcome, which was just kind of a, hey, welcome to the Robbie Burns night kind of thing.
The manager introduced the piper, the chef, and the fellow that was doing the Scotch nosing, whose name was Mark Lavadier. He was a French gentleman. Man, he knew his Scotch.
Yes, and that was the next part of the evening. It was a good 20, 25 minutes. And when you first sit down at your table, all of the Scotches are already poured and arranged at your table. And while we're waiting for the piping and everything to start, what was his last name? Mr.
Lavadier.
Mr. Lavadier came around and introduced himself to all the tables and let us know that that evening we would be doing our Scotch nosing from left to right to follow along. And that was really cool. He came around and introduced himself and chatted with everybody a little bit. That was neat. And then after he milled around a little bit and mingled, he started the Scotch nosing. They had a sound system set up too, so whenever people were speaking, you could hear them very clearly with a microphone. Mm-hmm. That was really nice.
Yeah, that way he didn't have to go to each table and repeat himself over and over again. Mm-hmm.
And if you were sitting in the back, you weren't straining to hear him if somebody was coughing or talking. Because there was a lot of chatter, because everybody was very excited to be there. And it was a decent cross-section, demographically speaking, I thought.
Yeah, and we were actually kind of in the middle of that cross-section. There were people there that were younger than us. Mm-hmm. Some rocker kids were there, and then there was some elderly folks that were there. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of in the middle of this great cross-section of folks there to enjoy it.
Now, Sheila, because she is a very good fat chick, she came to this night prepared. She brought a notebook, and she took notes.
I knew I would never remember. I'd just be like, it was all great. Woo!
Now, the handwriting does get a little sloppy as we go along, but she took
notes. But I actually took notes, though, so.
I was stunned that you stuck with it. You took notes throughout the entire Scotch nosing.
There's more and more exclamation points as you go on, too. I'm like, woo.
So one of the things that, The Scotch nosing gentleman did explain is that water opens up Scotch. You don't need a lot of water in it, just a couple drops, but it does open it up and increase what you're going to get out of it flavor-wise and aroma-wise. Mm-hmm. And they had a good bottle of spring water at each table for you to use to drink or to use to put a few drops in your Scotch, which again was a very nice professional touch, I thought.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, they could have easily had pitchers there, but it was nice that it was spring water. That was kind of cool.
Do you need a Scotch to do this?
Well, do you?
I'm just saying, if we're going to talk about it, you're going to want one in a minute.
Ah, true that.
If you'd like to start talking about the first Scotch, I'll play bartender. Give us the rundown of the first Scotch.
Okay, so the first Scotch we had is one that we both know well and love. It's our house Scotch, basically, that we always keep around. It was the Black Grouse, which is a blended Scotch. And the Famous Grouse is actually the most popular Scotch in Scotland. So if you're going to go there and you're just going to do the movie thing where you're going to go up and order a Scotch, you're going to get Famous Grouse.
It's the well Scotch, if you can call anything a well Scotch, to be honest.
And Black Grouse is made by the same company that makes Highland Park and Macallan. So basically you're getting two great single malt Scotches that are blended together, which is why it's a little bit of a cut above the Famous Grouse, because it's blended with single malts instead of blended with, I guess, blended Scotches. And it's from the, we got a schooling too in Scottish pronunciation. I always pronounced it Islay because that's what it looks like, but it's actually pronounced Isla. And it's an island, and it's famous for peat and smoke. And the other thing too that he talked about was that in Scotland, the area, the locale that the Scotch comes from is usually indicative of kind of what it's going to taste like. For example, the islands on the west side of Scotland are all about the smoke and peat. Along the coast on the mainland, it's salt and pepper. The Speyside, which is the northeast or the east side of Scotland, is known for notes of fruit, and the lowlands are known for being smooth. So that gives you a little bit of a geographical tasting thing there. And most of the, or half of the distilleries are actually in Speyside, which is, again, on that east coast there.
I just want to point out that my favorite Scotch comes from the northwest, which is Talisker. So.
Yeah, it's on the Isle of Skye.
Yeah, so. Well, it looks like it's all by our lonesome. We're giving these really specific map instructions because one of the things they had out on the table were these nice placemats that explained about how to do Scotch tasting. It had a bunch of the different brands of Scotch on it, where they come from, the labeled on the map. And then there was a nice tasting chart in the back that explains to you which well-known Scotches fall where on the tasting chart. Mm-hmm. They had at the top smoky, to the right they had rich, below that they had delicate, and to the left they have light. So depending where it falls, like for instance, Talisker falls all the way at the top and kind of in the middle for Smoky. So it's very smoky, and it falls just barely closer to Rich than it would to light.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas,
so it's going to be like a fuller-bodied...
Yeah.
Fuller-bodied scotch.
Yeah, whereas the Macallan falls closer to the delicate side as opposed to the smoky side, but it's much closer to the rich side than the light side. Mm-hmm. So it was a really cool kind of piece of swag that you weren't expecting to get, this nice place that all through dinner we kept trying not to smear anything on them so we could bring them home.
Exactly. Let's see, the next one we tried was the Highland Park 12-year. And he said this is the one that he gives to people that don't like scotch.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got a delicate flavor. It's nice and light. It's a very balanced scotch. I detected some notes of peat, and he said it's like a tour of Scotland. It's got all of the flavors. It's got the smoke and peat. It's got the salt and pepper. It's got the fruit. It's got the smooth, but it's all really well balanced. So nothing's really overpowering anything else. It could be an everyday scotch kind of thing if mm-hmm. you have the coin for it.
Yeah. I liked it. It was good, but I don't know, I'm so much of a peaty junkie, a smoky junkie,
mm-hmm.
that I don't know, it almost seemed like it didn't have enough guts to it.
Right.
It was good, but it was like, oh, I don't know, you know?
It has its place in the world when you want a lighter scotch, or for people, if you're going to share it with somebody, and they're not into the robust scotches yeah. like we are.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely has its place, so... I can see why it would be a once-in-a-while thing for us.
If I were going to do...
For something different, right?
If we were going to do a scotch party, I would definitely want some Highland Park around. Because I think it's something, as long as you like any kind of whiskey, you would probably really enjoy it.
Yeah. So. Let's see, the next one we did was the Macallan 12-year. And this is the one that was actually aged in ex-sherry casks instead of ex-bourbon casks. All the other scotches, pretty much, were ex-bourbon casks. So this one had the sherry, and you could definitely tell because it had some fruity notes to it. And when I was sipping it, and I was thinking cherry as he was saying sherry. So that just gives you that kind of idea of what kind of note it is whenever you're sipping it. And also, he said it had notes of caramel and smoothness, but we were actually thinking honey.
Mm-hmm.
Someone mentioned that they were getting that honey flavor off of it, which I picked up too. It's definitely on the sweeter side.
It was good. I really enjoyed that. That's one I could sip all the time, no matter what mm-hmm. I was in the mood for. I mean, if I didn't want something smoky, that would probably be what I'd go for. And actually, Macallan has a warm place in my mm-hmm. heart because that was my first scotch I ever had. I had my first experience with scotch was an 18-year Macallan.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is setting the bar really high. Because that stuff is butter smooth. I mean, you can chug 2 ounces of it, which you shouldn't do. But you can chug it and not choke. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. Oh,
it's an experience.
It's low burn. It's very smooth. Very, very good.
It's expensive, though, which is why we don't keep that around.
Yeah. Well, at least not yet. Maybe we'll win the lottery. So the next one would be the Macallan Cask Strength. Sorry, the Macallan Cask Strength. And this one, whenever whiskeys are made, and this is the same thing with sake, too. We've got a sake episode coming up that we're going to talk about. They're usually distilled, and then they take spring water and water it down a little bit to get to the alcohol level that they need it to be to legally sell it for whatever it's going to be, you know. But with this one, it actually isn't watered down and there is no color added to it. And it's 59% alcohol. And it's a big boy.
It's hardcore.
It is very, very hearty. I got notes of dark chocolate, spice, and tobacco off of this.
One of the other things, too, he mentioned about the cask strength is when all scotch is made, all whiskeys are aged, they lose volume. Mm-hmm. So you start off with just a random example of a number, 2 gallons mm-hmm. in a keg. When you're done, you're going to end up with a gallon and a third or a gallon and a half. You lose that because it evaporates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they water it down, because it's concentrating the alcohol content of it. And, yeah, this one I just tasted delicious.
Yeah.
Now, we did have an interesting experience with it at dessert, which we'll cover at dessert.
Yeah, he mentioned, too, to pair it with chocolate or to pair it with dessert mm-hmm. to amp up those flavors even more. And then the last one we tried, it looks like Laphroaig, but it's actually pronounced Laphroaig. I'll spell it out. It's Laphroaig. So again, that's pronounced Laphroaig.
Was it a 10 or a 12 year? I think it was a 10 year, but it might have been a 12 year.
Yeah. Well, this one was the Prohibition era scotch. I guess this is the one that all the gangsters were drinking back in the 1920s. And it definitely was peppery and had smoke and peat flavor, and it was 48% alcohol. So again, that was like a higher...
It's a troublemaker too.
Yeah, exactly. So after sampling all those on an empty stomach,
yes,
it was time to eat.
Now, what was your favorite of the five?
Oh, of the five? Man, I don't know. Probably the Macallan 12-year. I really dug those fruity flavors and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, I really liked the cask strength too, because I liked the tobacco-y flavor.
You see, it was a hard call, because I love Black Grouse, and that's a go-to scotch. And of all of these particular varieties, we'd had the Black Grouse before, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of new. If I had to pick one, it'd be the Laphroaig.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. But again, that was the smokiest one of them, and since I'm kind of a peat junkie, it was a shoo-in. But the cask strength was a very close second. Even though it was strong and it was really in your face, dessert really made it.
Yeah. So. Well, my favorite scotch of all time, if anyone wants to send me one, is Lagavulin. That's my favorite.
Yes, that was your birthday scotch.
Yeah.
And that was delicious. So we've had, at this point in the evening, we didn't chug the scotches. In fact, I think everybody
We took a sip of each one, and then we were getting ready to eat, kind of thing. But still, that's a lot of scotch. Plus a pint.
We did the, everybody drank the entire Black Grouse, I think, for the toast at the chairman's welcome to Robbie Burns.
Mm-hmm.
But we still had quite a bit on an empty stomach. So after all of this, and the only thing I would change in the evening at this point, the only thing that I sat there and said, if they could do it different, the only thing would be have some crackers or something out on the table to clear your palate between the scotches.
Or bread or something.
Yeah, just crackers even or something.
Yeah.
Just to clear it out a little bit, because after a while I was like, I'm getting kind of confused here, because we're just going boom, 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 boom down the row.
Yeah.
Which wasn't a big deal, because I had a beer with me, so I just kind of used a beer as a cleanser, and believe it or not, Mill Street Vanilla Porter actually cleanses the palate pretty darn well.
So I actually had some of the water.
Mm.
I poured myself a half a glass of water, and I was putting drops out of my glass into the scotch to open it up, but I was definitely taking sips in between.
I was doing that too, but when my palate got too confused, and my palate isn't even close to being as delicate as Sheila's, I still was clearing it with some vanilla porter, and it did a good job. Because the vanilla is such a different flavor compared to everything in the scotches that it kind of shocked it clear.
Say it shakes the etch-a-sketch of your tongue.
It did. Between the vanilla and the porter, it was so different to everything else, it kind of reset. So it's not ideal, but it worked at least.
Yeah.
So again, everything else was so awesome.
Yeah.
So I can't even complain there.
I wish that this had been done differently and it wasn't that huge of a deal, but...
Next time,
crackers would be good.
Yeah, I think it was just more along the lines of, I was getting like scotch numb.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh my god, well, there's so many, I mean, they're awesome.
Well, and they're all such different flavors too. But they're all very delicate flavors. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then came dinner.
Dinner. Oh, at this point, the scotch eggs came out. And if I had a moment of fear of this evening, it was for the scotch egg, not the haggis. I'd never had either one of them. But I really don't like hard-boiled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really like eggs until I was, 21?
Yeah. Well, and for those that don't know, a scotch egg is a hard-boiled egg that's been shelled. Then you put a layer of... You encapsulate it, basically, in sausage. And then you either pan-sear it and then finish baking it, or you can deep-fry it, I think, too. I think these might have been deep-fried, but I'm not entirely sure. But they were divine.
Yeah.
And they split them right down the middle so that every bite you got a bit of yolk with it. Oh, so good.
They were amazing. These things come out, and if I ever needed a protein bomb at that point, that was it. It was... I didn't even hesitate. Just whipped the fork and knife out, started slicing away, and it was like a miniature bite of heaven every single time it went in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, am I a believer.
I don't know how hard they are to make, but it would be amazing if those went on the regular menu.
And yeah, that would be a killer appetizer. Two scotch eggs would be a perfect starter for like
you could either have it
four people, you know?
Yeah. a hearty appetizer for two or a snack for four.
Mm-hmm. Or even if they quartered them and sent them out. Oh, they were just phenomenal. The breading, I use the word loosely, breading, which is really the meeting. The meeting. It was perfect. I mean, it had that great, strong, like, sausagey taste to it, but it was smooth, and there was some, obviously, flour and breadcrumbs mixed in with it to make it coat the egg, but it was just the perfect texture, and the eggs were perfectly well done, and...
Well, it was really good sausage, and the boiled eggs were cooked perfectly.
Yeah.
They weren't overdone, so...
And they didn't even have that that gray ring that happens when you don't take the eggs and cool them down right away after you boil them.
Yeah.
So they were pretty... And they were delicious. So I'm not ready to start chowing down on Easter eggs yet.
Yeah.
But if we coat the eggs in sausage, I might be tempted. So.
See, our first experience, at least my first experience anyways, was with the medieval recreationists, the Society for Creative Anachronism. And they had Scotch eggs at one feast. And I just chowed down on those things because I love them. I love boiled eggs, so.
Yeah.
I was good to go.
I can see why. But those were killer.
Mm-hmm.
Then next up came the haggis.
It was the cockaliki soup next.
Oh, you're right. Because they piped in the haggis, and then the Scotch eggs came out, and the haggis went back into the kitchen to be served.
Yeah, the piper actually did the ode to the haggis, and then he took this big knife and cut it and talked about it spurting and everything. The chef took him back, and then they proceeded to serve the cockaliki soup, which was a chicken soup with lots and lots of leeks in it. Really hearty, really good.
It was killer. Killer chicken soup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nice big meaty chunks in it. It was delicious. Perfectly done. Wasn't salty. My grandmother would have been proud.
Yeah. It was good. Good.
It was good.
Nice and hearty. I can picture like coming in, and here's like where we get into the cultural aspect of it. I could picture coming in from the moors, from going out shooting, you know, like in Gosford Park, and settling down to a nice big bowl of that.
Shooting a famous grouse, if you will.
Maybe. And then drinking one?
Yes. Awesome soup. So then the haggis came out.
This is Tracy's first experience with haggis. I'd actually had it before. I went to high school with this Scottish lass who, for one of her projects, brought haggis in. And it was more like a sausage. This one was big and plump and very, very loose. Whereas the haggis that I had before was more like dried and,
more like kielbasa, you said.
It was more like, I don't know, it held together better. Mm-hmm. This was more of like, you just kind of scoop it out kind of thing.
Now, for those who don't know, haggis is, what organs are used exactly in it?
Is it kidney? It's usually heart, lung, kidneys, and it's all ground up and put in the stomach.
With a hearty helping of oats and different spices and seasonings and all kinds of
other
things.
Lots of onion, too, usually.
Lots of onion. And then it's all tied up in the stomach, and I want to say it's boiled for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can be served. My first experience with it, and I will admit I dreaded the Scotch egg, the haggis. I was like, I'm either going to love it or hate it. There's not going to be an in-between.
But then you were in between.
And I was totally in between. I don't get it. I'm like, I'm either going to be addicted to this stuff and we're going to be scouring, you know, Durham region high and low to find it, or I'm going to gag and embarrass myself. And it was, I don't like organ meat. And it's not like I sit there and say, oh, organ meat. I genuinely have tried it and not known what it was. And I would say, this is not to my taste.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in China, it was one of those, haha, let's play tricks on the round eye and feed me things like that and not tell me what it was. And afterwards, you know, they do the whole, hee hee, what did you think? Like, it was okay, but it really wasn't that good. I liked that better. Like, it was kidney, you know, right?
Yeah.
It was heart. So, I know it's just one of those things. I could retrain my palate to it.
Yeah.
If I wanted to.
Like when the zombies come.
Yeah. When the zombies come, I'm going to sit down to a hearty helping of whatever's in front of me. But I've never really been into organ meat, period. This, though, when I was eating it, it tasted great. The problem was after I stopped after a couple bites, because I shoveled in a couple bites right away, I'm like, this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got kind of that, I describe it as, it's like a dark aftertaste.
Mm-hmm.
To me, because I have weird definitions for how things taste.
It tasted dark and twisty?
It tasted dark and twisty.
Like the cast of Grey's Anatomy?
Yes. But I stopped eating, and once the onion taste faded, because I was like, oh, there's a lot of onion in this. I was chowing down, I'm like, oh, well, that's dark. That's something I don't usually like. And after that, I'm like, you know, I ate, what, probably a quarter to a third of it.
Yeah,
because it was a hearty serving.
Yeah.
It was a good 2 to 3 ounce serving. After I ate a good portion of it, I thought, you know, I could probably over a couple years really start to like it, but right now, not so much. I liked it, but not to the either, or I didn't like it or hate it like I thought was to either extreme, and that really did confuse me more. But
because but I loved it.
we went to this with our friends John and Veronica, and John and Sheila are like, if you're not going to finish that, I'll help. And they just, like, grab spoonfuls of it off my plate.
Well, see, I like steak and kidney pie, so organ meat doesn't bother me. I mean, I don't usually seek it out, but I like having it, like, on special occasions. Mm-hmm. Like, I like my steak and kidney pie. Yeah. I'm not going to give that up.
I mean, next year, will I totally eat some?
Mm.
I'll totally have some next year.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I go to something like this, if it's there, if we go to some other dinner function and it's there, I'm definitely going to have a taste or two of it. Because I'm sure it's the same thing as with hamburgers. I'll keep trying it over years, and finally I'm going to hit, like, you know, I'll turn 40 and be like, oh my
all
God.
All the wasted years.
I love haggis. Let's go buy some now. Let's make it ourselves. Let's go. Let's get a sausage grinder and grind up the bits and do it.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things, I don't know. I'm still confused about how I'm so on the fence about it right now.
Yeah, because most people either usually love it or hate it.
Yeah.
I really like it, so.
Yeah. I don't get it, but it was a great experience, and I'm glad I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was really good haggis.
Yeah.
Like, I've had haggis before. I've had okay haggis. But this was really,
this
really
was
good.
Epic. Was it epic haggis?
It was epic haggis.
It gets the epic label.
Yeah.
So, and I'm still just so entertained by the fact that this harmless, innocent, hard-boiled egg caused me more food anxiety.
Yeah.
When we got there than something stuffed full of organ meat, you know? Why?
Yeah. Well, and you knew that it was stuffed full of organ meat.
Yeah,
you
know, that's surprised. How it's made. I knew. You know? I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm sure it'll be good, or I'll hate it. I don't know. But that egg, I don't know.
Yeah. Then there was the filet mignon with
main course.
Bashed neeps. So there was mashed potatoes and turnip.
Mm-hmm.
And then the filet mignon actually had this really nice brown sauce on it.
Killer gravy.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
It was probably a béarnaise sauce, mm-hmm. actually. To be technical.
Oh my God, it was delicious. I mean, the potatoes, the mashed potatoes there are amazing to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And these were just perfect. I love turnip.
Yeah, me too.
So having, you know, a cubed up portion of turnip with it was just hooverlicious. I think I finished that before my meat.
Yeah. Because I remember John was like, I don't really like turnip. And then we're like, om, om, om.
Yeah, we're just, you know, shoveling it down. But the meat.
Turnip's great. Woo!
The meat was perfect. Just perfectly cooked. You didn't even need a knife. You could cut it with your fork. It was so tender.
Yeah.
It wasn't overcooked. It had that good pink center. It should.
Mm-hmm.
The sauce they served on it was amazing. It was just absolutely perfect. So good. It was so good.
And then for dessert, we had the Bard's ice cream, which is basically vanilla ice cream with a big, huge shortbread cookie stuffed into it.
It wasn't just vanilla ice cream. How could you be so blasé of vanilla ice cream? I am lactose intolerant, which means, and I did not bring my Lactaid that night. We did not drive, so therefore the little emergency kit of Lactaid that we keep in the car was not there. I took one bite of the ice cream so I could try it, just so, you know, because it looked great. It's vanilla ice cream. How can you not take a bite of it? I took one bite of that ice cream, and I couldn't help myself but finish it. I so paid a price for it later, but it was delicious. The shortbread was awesome. I love shortbread.
The shortbread was amazing, and it was actually dipped in Famous Gross.
Was it?
Wasn't it?
It was dipped
it
in something.
It had a whiskey taste to it.
It had something deliciously boozy with it. Now, to compound how awesome, because plain vanilla ice cream is, and it's, I hate saying plain vanilla, because vanilla is anything but plain. It is so maligned as a flavor. It's awesome.
It's exotic. It's
it is.
Floral. It's
it
delicious.
Is. It's perfect. I like vanilla more than chocolate. There, I said it publicly. Please send all hate mail to fivefatchicks@gmail.com. But the surprise came when the gentleman doing the scotch nosing had said, this is really good. The cask condition is really good with dessert. So I had a mouthful of ice cream, and I said, I'm going to put that theory to the test. And I took a little sip of the cask condition Macallan. Which left a nice ice cream smear on my glass, by the way. It was like a lipstick imprint, but white. It was really weird.
Keeping it classy.
And I kind of swished it around with cold ice cream. And it was amazing. It was like some crazy Bailey's mix in my mouth. It just, the cask condition blended perfectly with the ice cream to me. I'm like, this is great. You have to try it. So, of course, everybody else at the table was like, all right. Sheila and John do it and immediately make a face. They're like, oh, that's horrible. Veronica, who freely admitted in the beginning of the evening, she's not really into scotch. It's kind of wasted on her. She'll definitely take a taste of everything, but we were going to have to finish what she had.
That's why she drove.
Yeah. And she did it. She's like, oh my God, you're right. That's really good. So who knows what mutant tongues we have that was delicious. But
the McCallans. It just goes to show everybody has their own taste.
Yeah. And I think the rest of the ice cream I finished the cask strength off. Mm-hmm. I was like cask conditioned earlier. I mean cask strength. I finished the cask strength McKellen off with the ice cream. I just kept doing that because it was just so good with it. It was great with the shortbread.
Mm-hmm.
So he was right. That is so, sounds weird to say it, a dessert scotch.
Yeah, but overall, such a great experience. Cannot wait until next year.
Yeah. My first Robbie Burns dinner, and that really set the bar high. They did a fantastic job. Can't wait to go back. You have to tell them about your freaking vase of beer.
Oh, God. So, I think just before the haggis, I'm like, oh, I'm out of beer. Well, I don't want to have to drink all this water, so I better order another one. So, I ordered a pint of Hoegaarden. And little did I know that it came with, like, was that a Moss? It seemed like it was...
It was bigger than a pint, but it was smaller than a Moss. But it was giant.
It was like I was drinking out of a flower pot. It was humongous.
Yeah, it was just oversized, but it looked like the water glasses, but it was large and wide, and it said Hoegaarden on it. And Hoegaarden's a great beer. That was a lot of Hoegaarden. She had to use two hands. She looked like a hobbit drinking it. It was adorable.
It comes in pints? I'm getting one.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like forced perspective in your hand with the beer. It was great.
Oh, there's a picture of it on the Facebook page for the Fat Chicks.
Yeah.
If you check it out, you'll get to see the nice fellow that was sitting next to us that was flying solo. He's kind of photobombing, grinning in the background
as
I'm
nice
drinking
guy.
My Hoegaarden. Yeah.
Well, his birthday was Robbie Burns night as well, the next day. So he was doing his birthday celebration. He was a really nice guy. But I do recommend, not just because it boosts our ego, but checking us out on Facebook and friending us on Facebook, because we've been putting more and more pictures up now that we have a decent camera.
Mm-hmm.
And we have finally figured out how to make the pictures not suck. So I promise from now on the pictures will be of a better quality. Who knew that the ISO setting was so important on a camera? No idea. Wow, I should have read the user's manual.
Photographers out there are cracking their asses up right now.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, you silly fat chicks. You only know stuff about food. You're right. We do.
Yeah.
Only food. We're figuring out the rest of it as we go along. But just an awesome, awesome night.
Here's to Trinity.
Here's to Trinity. Here's to Robbie Burns. And for those who are curious what we're drinking, we both have been enjoying a wee dram of the Smokehead.
It's an Isla single malt. I actually read it properly this time.
Look at you. And it's one we picked up a while ago because we are peat junkies. And I really dig it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could call it a young, aggressive scotch. And it's a little harsh. I think you have to be a peat head to like it.
Yeah.
So, anything else you
want to
add?
Did you want me to read the haggis?
It's a long poem. I don't think we need to punish people.
Okay, fine. What about the Cock Up Your Beaver one?
Why don't you read up the Cock Up Your Beaver? And if you're wondering what we're flipping and reading from, they had a program out with the order of how things were going to go for the evening, a bunch of Robbie Burns poems, including the address to the haggis, and then the menu in the back as well.
So I'm guessing, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, this is actually talking about putting your hat at a jaunty angle.
It is. It is.
Since they colonized, well, Britain colonized Canada for beavers so that they could actually make beaver hats.
And we still give beavers to the Queen every year, don't we?
Yeah, she probably has some room in Buckingham Palace with stacked to the rafters with beaver pelts.
I'm sure they're auctioned off at a charity thing somewhere.
Probably. So here we go with Cock Up Your Beaver. When first my brave Johnny lad came to this town, he had a blue bonnet that wanted the crown. But now he has gotten a hat and a feather. Hey, brave Johnny lad, cock up your beaver. Cock up your beaver, cock it full sprush. We'll over the border and give him some brush. That somebody there will teach better behavior. Hey, brave Johnny lad, cock up your beaver.
A perennial classic. Anything else you want to add there, woman?
I don't think so.
All right, this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on Facebook and or follow us on Twitter. You can email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends. Please make sure that credit is given. Thanks for listening and have a great day.